Hello, folks. This is Brad Foreman with Peaks Podcast here in Kathmandu, Nepal. This is episode 48, season 4, Everest. I'm actually on day 5. This is Thursday, April 8th. So I've been in Kathmandu a couple days. My previous podcast was in the air at 37,000 feet. Now we're grounded in Kathmandu, Nepal, the capital of Nepal. And we're base camping here and getting organized. This podcast is all about the logistics of our Everest expedition. It takes quite a bit to get ready and prepare. I'm on the grounds of the beautiful Hyatt. It's a wonderful compound. Perhaps you'll hear the noises of Kathmandu in the background. There's a gentle breeze blowing through the trees of the compound. There's various willows, palms, rhododendron surrounding me. You can hear the horns from downtown Kathmandu in the distance, the cawking of ravens on the beautiful 5-6-story Hyatt Hotel here. The grounds are really special. You can have enough room to move around and do a nice podcast from. Before I go any further with all the logistics, I want to do a big shout out to everybody for your support and listening and following me into this season 4. Everest, as you'll recall from previous podcasts, this has been 2 years in the making. We got defeated with the pandemic in 2020. Now it is the year 2021, our lucky year. There's a lot of things coming together to make this especially a lucky year. On the Chinese calendar, it's the year of the ox. And as some of you may know, the Chinese calendar is a 12-year cycle. The year of the ox comes up every 12 years. And ironically, I was born in the year of the ox. So, I'm on my fifth cycle. So, this is, according to Chinese history, a very lucky year for me. And let's hope that that carries through with this expedition on Everest. Kathmandu, this is my fourth time here. And it seems as busy. Yesterday we were supplying up in town with last-minute equipment, supplies, medications. And I was reminded of how busy this town is. I should mention that the Hyatt's over here near the airport. You'll hear the occasional plane in the background. Helicopters, which we'll be taking tomorrow. But anyhow, back to Kathmandu. The streets were busy and bustling, but the one curious thing is we did not see many tourists. Tourism's way, way down. The pandemic crushed, absolutely crushed Nepal, trekking and climbing business. So they're glad to see the tourists, and you can see an excitement with the folks that are catering to us, Naaman and his crew. So we have my guide company that I've been with on the last two other seasons, Antarctica and Denali. I am traveling with them this trip and with the same lead guide, Jacob. We have an assistant guide, Fisher, who seems quite capable and very nice. It's his first expedition over here in Nepal. And of course, the famous Scott Willem. And Scott is running base camp, and he's got a history you could write a book on, apparently. He's super well qualified, and it's an honor to have him as our headquarters operation general manager. So you have the American Guide Company that comes over here, and they work with Nauman and his crew, and Nauman arranges everything domestically here in Kathmandu. So let's go through some of the logistics that make this so, so incredibly complex. We have, let's say for sake of numbers, a ballpark of about 21 Sherpas, mountain Sherpas. 21 mountain Sherpas. These guys are carrying stuff on the up and down and helping us on the mountain, particularly on the summit day. The lead mountain Sherpa, his name is Karma. And I find this just so pleasing. Karma is just such a classic Nepalese name, and he's our leader. So once again, I'm feeling very blessed and excited about having Karma lead. And in my conversations with him, he seems super qualified. He's been up Everest, I think he said 8 times. 2 times he was back up one camp below summit, and 6 times on top. I think his first time was in his teens. In his teens, he summited. Just should be recognized. These guys are super strong and super well qualified. And they've been working. These, well, not only the 21, but there's approximately six other Sherpa Nepalese that are running our base camp. Cooking and doing odd chores. And a general manager of the base camp from the Nepalese side that will work hand in hand with Scott. So that's bringing our number close to 27, give or take one or two. So we're 27 local on the mountain. Not to mention the infrastructure here in Kathmandu, Nauman and his partner. So there's a ton of people that are working on our behalf. I'm just overwhelmed. I had to write down in my journal to keep track of all the people. Now, they're not all Sherpas that'll be on the mountain and in our cook crew or our base camp crew. There are some Nepalese that are not Sherpas. You know, Sherpa is a designation of a region they come from in Nepal. But a majority are Sherpas. So, more logistics. So I arrived 2 days ago, shell-shocked. I had 3.5 hours of sleep. I was wiped out. And we had our grand opening finale dinner. And I could hardly keep my eyes open. It was at least a half a dozen courses, and it was so nice. Nauman and his crew, our local representation, hosted it, and it just showed the respect they have for their clients. They're excited to be working again and have us here, and it's refreshing. And now I remembered, even though I was so tired, I remembered why this climbing expedition is so important to me, myself, and the experience of all the different people that make this thing work. It's very, very complex. So we had a great dinner, and that night we had to pack up our duffels for the next morning. Now, when I say pack up our duffels, this is where logistics get a little bit more complicated, and with no sleep 2 days ago, getting my duffels situated was quite a task. I'm sure I made a few mistakes, but none that are gonna be life-threatening at this point. So, 2 nights ago, the logistics that I had to take care of were preparing two duffels. A duffel is a 90-liter bag that we throw our stuff in. It has to be very durable because it's going on a yak's back, possibly, or porter's. So it gets thrown around, it gets rained on, snowed on, dropped, possibly stepped on by a 1,000-pound yak. Oh, there's one of those helicopters I mentioned. And so team member, we have seven team members, including myself, clients, and we prepared one to two duffels each. We're trying to keep the weight of these duffels around 20 kilos. That's 50 pounds-ish. And so we get all the stuff for base camp. We are acclimatizing between Kathmandu and base camp for 9 days. So we separate all the stuff for base camp into the two duffels going up. And yesterday morning, they brought those two duffels. We delivered them, and then they shuttle those up by hand to base camp at 18,400-ish feet above sea level. So we're without that gear. So you got to make some very good choices on the gear you want up there. Just nothing that you're going to use for the next 9 days of travel between Kathmandu and base camp. So it takes some thought. It takes some organization. So that was our one super important logistical activity that took place two nights ago when I arrived, delivered to the Naaman and his team at the hotel lobby yesterday morning. So then yesterday we spent picking up our extra things that we might have forgotten, or just little things that you might need. I bought some throat lozenges for the dusty trails. And also I secured a great map from a Tibetan bookstore. I always bring, well, a poster, I should say, not a map. A poster so that upon completion of this trip, I have all the guides and porters, the whole team and clients sign, and I put it on my trophy wall, framed, and it makes a super memento and a reminder of the expedition. Especially with this many people, it'll be great to have that memento. So I have that in a tube that I bought yesterday, and this is the logistics number two, the second part, step two. Yesterday, a bag, and this bag goes from Kathmandu to Namche Bazaar. Tomorrow, day six, Friday, April 9th, we depart Kathmandu. We'll take helicopters from Kathmandu to Namche Bazaar. And then I think we have a little walk to our hotel. Namche Bazaar is 12 plus thousand feet above sea level, and we'll use that as our first mountain base for a couple days of acclimatization, which we'll talk about in future podcasts. So that's step two. So in this bag goes everything that I'll need for 9 days. So this would include, you know, undergarments, waterproof jacket, hiking poles, snacks, medications, toiletries, journal. I actually put my journal in that bag for the trip, and I'll catch up on that once we arrive there tomorrow. So this might not seem like a big task, but these two logistical steps, if you mispack, you're going to be without and or, you know, severely handicapped possibly for a leg or for the whole trip if you don't get something in there that you need for your summit. So it takes it takes some serious thought. So those are the two logistical steps we've taken to this point. This is our last day in Kathmandu, and we've had a couple briefing meetings. Another chopper. We've had a couple logistical meetings talking about this preparation, and it's exciting because at our logistical meetings, it's like where things really come to life. You know, Jacob and Scott and Fisher will take the lead and talk about different activities, and it's our time to communicate any questions, concerns, and their briefing on our activities. Super important, and our group seems excellent. Now, on day five, I've been here 2 days, and I'm getting to know our team. They seem strong. We're a diverse group, 3 women, 4 men, including myself, 7 total. We have several countries represented, which we've discussed, South Africa, Ireland, England, Poland, USA, and actually Portugal. A couple of the clients have dual citizenship. That's always interesting and exciting to talk to them about. So we have a great diversity in clients, and I think it's going to be a great group. We're strong. Of course, time will tell on that one. You know, I'm very cautious when it comes to passing any judgments early on. You know, we all are just going to do our best. So let me take a moment to discuss some of the broader scope things. Why I'm here in Kathmandu after 20 some years of attacking, accomplishing 5 of the 7 summits. I'm doing this for charity through my website, www.foreman7project.org. Foreman7project.org. 100% of these funds go to charity, Kids in Need. I focus in on Kids in Need because, you know, I feel so blessed, and I'm so humbled by the things that I've been able to do and have in life, and I really want to share and give back. So if this is my way to do that, please visit the site. It talks about all the 7 summits and about my charity. This is helicopter number 3. A lot of activity today. It's a clear day. I'm guessing a lot of people heading up onto the mountain. We'll go over some statistics. Yesterday we did get our permit, and I want to talk a little bit about that later on. Let's continue on with the global. I have a podcast, which I'm doing now. The backup for my podcast is at www.peakspodcast.rocks. Peakspodcast.rocks. This is where I have video and photo coverage of my various climbs and history of the previous 5 and number 6 and number 7 yet to come. So that's a summary of my sites. We also have the guide site, which is listed. All of them are listed on my charity page, foreman7project.org. So you can get all the links there. I want to thank everybody, before we continue, for listening to my podcast. Please make any comments, share with your friends. We're available on all the major podcast platforms, Spotify, Google, CastBox. You can find it pretty much anywhere. So enjoy. I hope you'll share it with your friends too. So logistics. Today, we are going to go on a hike, a little hike, this afternoon just to keep the muscles limber. We did deliver our packs that are being taken up, so they're en route to our camp for tomorrow. So that's it. We're left with just our little day pack now. Our little day pack will go on the helicopter with us. Then we'll store two or whatever bags down here with perhaps passports and valuable items that don't need to go. A change of clothes and such for our return. So that'll be locked up at the hotel in 2 months when we get back. That'll be there. The helicopter ride tomorrow will be a couple hours. I've done a helicopter ride one time, a couple times before, and it's a great way to travel. We're going to skip that very dangerous airport using the helicopter. We go up one town further, so we don't have to use the fixed wing to come in. I think that should be a little safer, and it gets us up higher on the mountain. It's a good choice. Yesterday, we passed a huge milestone in the logistics. This would be the third big logistical activity, and that's our permitting. So Jacob went down to the Ministry of Tourism and got our permit to allow us to climb, each of our clients and guide's name. And that permit allows us to go officially onto Everest and climb. While Jacob was there, he was able to gather information about previous all the permits this season, and right now there stands at 180. Previous years there's been 500. We're a little bit later in season, so I guess I'm hoping that there's less than 200 to 250 people on mountain climbing, which would be maybe as little as 50% of, less than 40% of usual. So that's huge for us. Less people, less problems. Not so good for the Nepalese economy, but it's better than last year where there was zero tourism on the mountain. So I'm looking, I'm guessing 40%. This is completely a Brad guess. We'll know more when we get on the mountain. It depends. Maybe there's a whole bunch of late groups and this calculation is off. But for right now, that's what I'm sticking with. So that's an important piece of the puzzle that's come to mind. We have heard of a lot of different personalities that are going to be in the mountain with this reduced number. I hear there's a prince up there, and Prince of Bahrain. And we've also heard that there's an ex-NFL player. I believe played in NFL for some 4 years, and he will be the first NFL player to summit Everest and do, I think it's a seventh summit. So there's a couple milestones. There's several people in our group that are finishing their seventh of the seven. So we're really rooting for them, and we'll talk more about that throughout the trip. So Kathmandu, Nepal, the capital. When we were flying in, I got a glimpse of Everest out my left-hand window to the north. Unbelievable. So the clouds are sitting. Imagine looking out of the window of my plane, and the clouds are sitting there at, let's say, 18,000 feet above sea level. And this mountain, this huge mountain, two mountains are poking out of the clouds and rising some 11,000, oh no, wait, gosh, I mean, amazing 20,000 feet, well, let's see, no, say 11,000 feet above the cloud level. It's hard to exactly say, but it was so impressive. So you see Everest, and then right next to it, Lhotse. And it's a rare sight coming in, and it was my real inspiration. I was dog tired, and to see this in my little porthole window of the cabin flying in was amazing, inspirational. I kind of get really excited when I start seeing that, and everything's coming to life now. Good team, great company, and I feel well trained. I think my preparation is good, so we're going to give it our best shot. We've got the logistics covered in this podcast, episode 48, season 4, Peaks Podcast. Please share with your friends if you enjoy it, and if you don't, give me any comments. I'd love to improve your helpful criticisms. Also appreciated. So this is Peaks Podcast, Brad Foreman here in Kathmandu, signing off. Y'all have a great day, and remember, I'm doing Peaks Podcast for children at risk, and also to incentivize everybody to get out there and enjoy the outdoors. Whatever you're doing, try and get out and be a part of this beautiful planet. Have a great day. Bye-bye.